Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Look at the whole world in the 21st century, right now, and you will see without any question, as in the days of Genesis, the world is in a mess. Read the newspaper. Listen to the news. Open your eyes, your ears. Look in any area of endeavor. The world is in a mess because we have moved, all of us, from sea to shining sea, have moved away from the moorings and teachings and of Almighty God.
The truth is, when you stay connected to your calling, you can change the world. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young begins his message, Changing the World, and gives you practical ways you can make a difference for Christ through your day-to-day life. So stick around. Dr. Young is coming right up. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, we want to help you grow stronger and more confident in your daily walk with Christ by sending you the book that launched this ministry, Dr. Ed Young's The Winning Walk. By outfitting your life with God's Word, you'll be able to follow wherever He leads you. And this classic book from Dr. Young helps equip you for your lifelong adventure of walking with Jesus. We'll send you a copy of The Winning Walk as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. And if you're able to become a pace setter by making your gift monthly, we'll also send you The Winning Walk audiobook. So call now to request your resources when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Once again, welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, who joins me in the studio today at the beginning of this new series called Cardinal Rules. Dr. Young, we often think that the Christian life should be full of fireworks and spectacular developments, but you use words like methodical and consistent quite a bit in this message. Can we really change the world by putting one spiritual foot in front of the other?
We change ourselves with a disciplined life. By nature, I'm not a disciplined person, but I've learned to build into my life, to put people around me that force me to be disciplined. And therefore, I look at my calendar, and when I fill out my calendar, and this is what I do here and there, this is what I accept, this is what I say no to, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm not going, it almost pushes us into a life of discipline. And the disciplined life, there is the productive life. A lot of people can get by on just natural giftedness. They just, oh, that's easy for me, I can do that. That'll take you a good way in this world. But I'll tell you, those who really make a difference in the kingdom and a difference wherever they go are disciplined individuals. Undisciplined individuals are open to capriciousness. They're open, I think, many times to sin. So the more we can discipline our life around God, around Christ, around what our purpose is, what our gifts are, a lot of people have tremendous gifts, but because they're not disciplined to exercise those gifts, they spend all their time and energy on peripheral things, on unimportant things. A disciplined person is able to prioritize their time and prioritize their energy and prioritize their gifts around life that is productive.
Dr. Young, you also will speak about presenting our bodies to Christ. I'm wondering, what does that look like in practical terms in our everyday life?
Start your day off and surrender your life. Lord, I surrender to you. The next step is empty your life. Empty your life before Him. Say, Lord, take all of this out of my life. And Lord, I love You. I praise You. I thank You. And Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Look what I've done. There's an acrostic. S-E-L-F. Surrender. Empty. Love. Praise Him. Fill me with Your Spirit. That's the problem in life, is self. You surrender self. Put life in neutral. God will take you every step of the way.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Changing the World.
You read the Bible, it may stagger you if you haven't thought about it, but from Genesis to Revelation, by the way, let me remind you, it is Revelation. It does not have an S on it. I studied Revelation for 1 year in seminary, and the professor said, if anybody ever says Revelations, they will flunk my course regardless of their grades. So is Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, how many times you hear the phrase, walking with God, someone who walks with God, someone who no longer walks with God, someone who desires to walk with God. You hear the phrase, walk with God, over and over and over again. And it begins right in the early chapters of Genesis. We know that God, we're told, came to walk in the garden in the cool of the evening. The inference being that He showed up all the time, and Adam and Eve in that pristine creation would walk with God in the cool of the evening, in that magnificent environment of perfection. But God showed up to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve, and you know they were a no-show. He says, Adam, where are you? And Adam was hiding. Because of his sin, he discovered that he was naked. He'd been naked all of his life, but now he knew he was naked because of sin. And so Adam and Eve no longer walked with God because they had taken a bite off the forbidden tree. God says you can have everything, anything, total freedom. Just don't eat of that tree. And we have, in our tradition, though it doesn't say in the scripture, assumed it was an apple tree. And therefore, every time I look at an Apple computer, you know, got that apple with a bite out of it. And I read the biography of Steve Jobs this summer, and I assure you it may mean something. I think about the fall of man, the sin of man, the sin of man. How Adam and Eve no longer walked with God, they were expelled from the garden. And then we sort of get blurry, even those who've been in church a long time, as to what happened to civilization, what happened to humanity. Born, lived, married, children, grandchildren, died, born, lived, married, children, grandchildren, died. Generation after generation, the Bible gives an account of part of what was going on in the world until finally in Genesis chapter 6, devastating chapter, it says that something happened. What happened when Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden by God because of their sin? Dante calls it paradise lost, right? How did they lose paradise? What happened after they lost paradise to those generations? The word is compromise. That's the most effective word, action. That's how Satan primarily works in your life, in my life, in the world of that day, and in the world today. It is compromise. And Genesis tells us exactly what happened. The sons of God began to marry the daughters of men. To say it biblically, the lineage of Seth, began to marry in the lineage of Cain. The lineage of Seth was a God godly lineage. The lineage of Cain was a godless lineage. That's all that has to happen, isn't it? For a man and a woman to get married, one is godly, one is ungodly. They have children and there's compromise and they get married and they have children and let a few generations go along and what happened? You have a whole world that is compromised, that is moving away from God because flesh married those who were walking in the Spirit. And what is the result? The whole world is in a mess. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. And you already know it. Look at the whole world in the 21st century, right now. And you will see without any question, as in the days of Genesis, the world is in a mess. Read Dr. Henley's Globe Quake. He'll tell you about it. Read the newspaper. Listen to the news. Open your eyes, your ears. Look in any area of endeavor. The world is in a mess because we have moved, all of us, from sea to shining sea, have moved away from the moorings and teachings and of Almighty God. Very, very few people are walking for God. So God brings judgment. God is a God of love, but also God is a God of justice. And they're juxtaposed, not really. And so God knew that he could not bring into the world the Messiah, the one who we discovered in Genesis would crush the head of Satan. Though the devil is not mentioned in Genesis after chapter 3, he's very much alive and well and moving against the affairs of God. And it is compromise. It is compromise. And now suddenly, because of these generations of compromise, the Bible tells us that all the world was caught up in violence, in godlessness, in immorality, and their minds were constantly filled with evil. Isn't that it? In this moment, God was going to blot out the world because it had broken his heart. You see, mankind, you and me, human beings, we're the only thing God ever created that has the ability and the capacity to walk with him and to know him. Nothing else alive can do that. We're made in his image. Free choice, creativity, freedom. We have the ability to know God, walk with God. Nothing else alive has that ability. We're the highest. We're the apex of creation. And now man had turned totally away from God, but God looked all over the world for a remnant, somebody, some family, somewhere who could be the connection between the old order and the new order. As God would bring judgment with the flood, there need to be a connection with the animal world, with his created order, and with those that he created, human beings in the image of God himself. And he looked for someone and he found him in a family. He found Noah. Noah's great grandfather was Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Remember Enoch. And Enoch had a boy named Methuselah, lived longer than anybody else ever lived, 996 years. Methuselah, a whole family that came through there. And Lamech came, the son of Methuselah. And Lamech had a boy named Noah. And we'll read in a minute that Noah walked with God. And God selected Noah. Noah. To change the world and to begin a new creation after the flood. Listen as this is told briefly in Scripture. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came about that when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, follow it, the sons of God, Seth, saw the daughters of men, Cain, were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Did you get that? They married whomever they chose. Different. Look at verse number 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his heart was evil continuously. Isn't that what I just said? Now look at verse 8 and 9. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Listen, people run around on I found the favor of God. Let me tell you something. The favor of God comes only to those who walk with God. He doesn't just arbitrarily throw around, I'm going to throw a favor at you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to give you a zillion. Oh, no, no. The genuine favor of God comes only to those who walk with God. Noah walked with God. That's it. Let's prepare for the application of the word as we pray together. Father, we look to you. Teach us how to be your sons and daughters in this broken world, in this broken society, everywhere we look. You speak now and let me get out of the way is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jim Collins is a Peter Drucker of the 21st century, in my opinion. Peter Drucker was the business guru, as you know, of the last generation. Now we have Jim Collins who comes along, and he is the guru in the corporate world today. Now Collins, in his book, Good to Great, which sold over, 3 million copies, has written a new book that's better than that book. It's Great by Choice. And in that book, he asks the question, he says, what corporations since 1972 to 2002 were the most profitable? In other words, if you'd invested your money in 1972 and you kept it invested in one corporation until 2002, what would be the best investment return on the dollar that you could have made? Would it be, gives choices, Johnson & Johnson, Southwest Airlines, Walmart, GE? What company, what corporations would have given you the best return on your money in that 30-year period? Southwest Airlines, by far. In fact, if you invested $10,000 in 1972 in Southwest Airlines and kept it till 2002, what do you think that would be worth? Kept it 30 years. $12 million. Ooh. Would all those who did that please come forward? Isn't that something? And Collins studied these corporations who were successful in the very capricious world that we've had in the business world for a good number of years. And Southwest was the head of the class. So they studied and they asked the question, what's the genius of Southwest? You have to go back and see where we got Southwest Airlines. At that time, Pacific Southwest Air was operating primarily in California, Pacific Southwest. And they had an unusual model for an airlines. Very simple. They said, our purpose is to move people from one place to another place as safe and as cheap as possible. That's it. No frills. They may serve you some peanuts. And they don't reserve any seats. They leave on time. They arrive on time. Turn around 10 minutes. They don't care on the plane, any other cargo, any mail. They just have the very simple statement, we move people by air from here to here, usually within a 2-hour frame. That's who we are. That's what we are. That is Pacific Southwest Airlines. And also they added to that safety and cheap fares, but also they added, said, we're going to have fun when we fly. And therefore they taught their pilots and their flight attendants, if you flew back in those days, to have a good time. They had on the airplane, they had a smiley face on the front of the fuselage. They had a smiley face. And they would do such things as pilots would get on the plane after everybody was seated with white canes and tin cups. You'd see them going to the pilot's cabin. Then you hear the pilots talking to one another. One of them would say, "Did you bring the key?" Other one said, no, I've never even flown a plane like this. What are all these buttons?" And they just had a good time. And then they'd honor someone. Many times they'd say, "We've had someone here who's flown a million miles with us. We want to honor them. We honor Mr. Francisco Jones. Would you come out and be honored?" And boy, they applaud, and he gets off the airplane, go down the step, he's on the tarmac. And they said, "In honor of being flying a million miles, we want to make you a gift." And they bring him a cow on a rope and hand it to him. I mean, he's, what? But that was specific salvation. And they made a lot of money. Airlines were regulated then. Therefore, you couldn't just fly anywhere. The government decided where you could fly and gave routes. And so a group of entrepreneurs in Texas said, "You know, Pacific Southwest has got a good idea. We're going to pick it up and do that in Texas," and that's Southwest Airlines. They did the same thing. Southwest Airlines is virtually a carbon copy of Pacific Southwest Airlines. There is zero difference, and Pacific Southwest said it's fine. We'll never be in competition because of regulation. But when deregulation came, Pacific Southwest says, "We've got to go and take advantage. Now we can fly anywhere. Brand new routes." They begin to morph into something else. And they begin to look for new markets. They changed the way they were doing business. They upgraded. They got more contemporary in what they were doing. And they said, "We want to be like United Airlines." Then finally they were bought by US Air. And they sort of disappeared. They said, "We didn't feel like we could exist as an independent airline." Southwest just stayed with the formula. Peanuts and here to there and no seats, and here we go. They stayed with their formula. Wall Street Journal said, "Southwest is going to go under. They're not adapting to the changing demographics and the changing market. We have an airline with all the expensive flights." Business Week said the same thing. "Don't invest in Southwest Airlines. Man, they're not staying up with things." But what happened? Southwest says, "Hey, we're just going to stay with our peanuts. We're going to keep it simple and safe and on time." And they fly basically one airplane and one airplane alone, one type of plane, one manual, one training, one thing, simple as it could be. And Jim Collins in this book discovered it in the business world. It's not those who are always morphing into something or reinventing themselves. He discovered it was those corporations in a capricious market environment who just stuck with their stuff and did it better and more effectively and kept it simple. They are the ones who really not only survived but thrived. Interesting, isn't it? Now, I read this in the book at the same time I was studying Noah. And I understand that all truth is God's truth. For example, you can take someone who's an atheist and they become truthful. They tell the truth even though they're an atheist. They'll take that truthfulness as an atheist. They will be better off than if they were liars as an atheist, right? You see, God's principles, ladies and gentlemen, never forget this, are written in the created order.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you continue to grow stronger in your relationship with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's book called The Winning Walk. Nobody instantly becomes an overcoming Christian, but by outfitting your life each day with the Word of God, you'll be able to follow wherever He leads. And Dr. Young's classic book helps you do just that. We're excited to send you a copy of The Winning Walk as thanks for your gift to help keep this broadcast coming your way and going out to encourage people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. And if you choose to make your gift monthly by becoming a Pace Setter, we'll say thanks for your first monthly gift by also sending you the new audiobook copy of The Winning Walk. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shares about the amazing things that happen when you walk in faithful obedience.